This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The Library of Congress today opens to the public the accumulated papers of former Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun, who died 5 years ago today. National Public Radio was the only broadcast organization allowed to examine the material in advance. It's rare to see a record of the usually secret internal workings of the court, and Blackmun's papers provide new insight on everything from abortion and school prayer to how the justices got along with each other. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg examined the 38-hour oral history and the more than 1,500 boxes of files. This is the first of a series of her reports.
It will take years for scholars to fully absorb the meticulous Supreme Court history that Harry Blackmun kept during his 24 years on the nation's highest court. Blackmun, best known as the author of the Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade abortion decision, served on the court in a period of enormous social and political change. While the already available papers of other justices have shed considerable light on the court's deliberations, the Blackmun papers extend 3 years beyond any previously disclosed, and for the first time lift the veil of secrecy that has surrounded the tumultuous battle in 1992 over whether to overrule the court's Roe v. Wade abortion decision. The papers reveal that the court's first vote was to overrule Roe in all but name. But as the issue came to a head, Chief Justice William Rehnquist and the court's three other anti-Roe justices were blindsided by three centrist justices who worked together in secret to preserve a woman's right to abortion. The papers disclose that Justice Anthony Kennedy initially voted with the anti-Roe conservatives, giving them a majority of 5. But he subsequently changed his vote to support, not eviscerate, Roe. The switch came even as an apparently oblivious Chief Justice Rehnquist was circulating a so-called majority opinion that would have left Roe a meaningless shell. The papers also reveal that Kennedy became the pivotal vote in another major case that term, the court's decision invalidating school-sponsored prayers at public school graduations. Kennedy, the papers show, changed his mind when he tried to write an opinion upholding graduation prayers and ended up writing the opinion the other way. On March 30th, Kennedy wrote to Blackmun, quote, "After writing to uphold prayer, my draft looked quite wrong, so I have written it to rule in favor of the objecting student." Indeed, the papers indicate that some 11 times during the last 3 years of Justice Blackmun's tenure, there were cases in which the outcome changed because one or more justices switched positions after the initial first vote in conference. Without doubt, though, the most dramatic of these turnarounds came in the 1992 abortion case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, a case in which the Bush administration was pushing hard for the reversal of Roe versus Wade. The undoing of Roe was in the air, as Blackmun observed in his oral history.
The votes were there, I think, in the Supreme Court, and no less than 3 times did the Solicitor Generals in the Reagan administration and the Bush administration ask specifically that it be overruled.
Indeed, in 1989, the court had come within a hair's breadth of overruling Roe. With Blackmun in furious protest, the court that year gave states far more latitude than before to regulate abortions and make them more difficult to obtain. 2 years later, the liberal Justice Thurgood Marshall retired and was replaced by the conservative Clarence Thomas. And so it seemed that Roe was doomed. The question was, when would the axe fall? After all, this was an election year, and if Roe were overruled before the election, the Republican Party might pay dearly. And so it was that Harry Blackmun, Roe's author and vocal defender, was deeply suspicious that Chief Justice Rehnquist was manipulating the timing of the case, relisting it for discussion when it was clear to Blackmun that a majority of the justices wanted to hear the case that term and not wait until after the election. After discussion of the case was postponed once, he wrote an unprecedented dissent from relisting. The obvious reason for relisting the case yet again, Blackmun wrote in January of 1992, was to avoid the, quote, political repercussions of a decision by this court in an election year. The court, said Blackmun, stands less than tall when it defers decisions for political reasons. Stephanie Dangles was Blackmun's law clerk that term.
The decision of whether to grant the case was being held up, at least we thought, by some justices because they did not want it to be an election issue. And if, in fact, they were going to overrule Roe, we thought that it was important that they have to deal with the political consequences of such a decision.
Blackmun, as it turned out, did not have to file his threatened dissent from relisting. Justice David Souter, a Bush appointee, urged in a memo that the case be heard that term. At the next conference, Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justice Sandra Day O'Connor voted against hearing the case, but they were outvoted by conservatives and liberals alike, and the fight over the preservation of Roe was set for that spring. The case was argued on April 22nd, and initially it looked as though Roe would, for all practical purposes, be overruled. Blackmun's notes of the justices' conference indicate that there were 5 votes to uphold the Pennsylvania anti-abortion statute in its entirety, and 5 votes to overrule 2 important pro-Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decisions of the 1980s. The notes quote Chief Justice Rehnquist as saying that it would be, quote, not necessary to overrule Roe. The notes record 4 other justices voting with Rehnquist, Justices White, Scalia, Thomas, and Kennedy. The Chief Justice assigned himself to write the opinion and circulated his first draft on May 27th. But unbeknownst to him, Kennedy was having second thoughts, and approached by Justices O'Connor and Souter, had agreed to join their effort to write an opinion carving out a middle ground that would still clearly uphold a woman's right to an abortion and be free from burdensome state regulations. On May 29th, 2 days after Rehnquist's first draft circulated, Justice Kennedy wrote to Blackmun, quote, I need to see you as soon as you have a few moments. I want to tell you about a new development in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. It should come as welcome news. The two men met the next day. There had been some bad blood between them over abortion. In an earlier case, Kennedy sent Blackmun a handwritten note expressing his, quote, deep resentment at something Blackmun had written that Kennedy took as casting aspersions on his motives. With that in the background, now the two men met alone in the justice's library talking about Casey, Justice Blackmun.
Justice Kennedy seemed deeply concerned about being saddled with this issue for the rest of his career. He was especially worried about the attention he would get as a Roman Catholic reaffirming Roe.
Kennedy knew about the tens of thousands of letters Blackmun had received in the years since his Roe opinion. He knew about the death threats, the bullet through the Blackmun's living room window, and he wanted to talk about that, too. At the end of the conversation, Blackmun was not entirely sure that Kennedy would stick.
He also informed the Chief Justice, who then spent some time and walks with Justice Kennedy to persuade him to change his mind.
But the Chief did not persuade Kennedy. 4 days after Kennedy's meeting with Blackmun, the group that came to be known as the Troika inside the court, Kennedy, O'Connor, and Souter, circulated their first draft, reaffirming what they called the core holding of Roe. The Chief Justice, however, was not giving up. 2 weeks later, he circulated a second draft, still styled as a majority opinion. It attacked the reasoning in the Troika opinion, still contending that his approach was not overruling Roe. The Troika didn't budge, though. Indeed, some clever editing by Justice John Paul Stevens that moved a half-dozen paragraphs around allowed the first 3 sections of the Troika opinion to win 2 more votes. 2 weeks later, on June 26th, Rehnquist circulated a third draft, this time styled as a dissent, and conceding that in the dissenter's view, Roe was wrongly decided and should be overruled. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Videos and additional audio of Justice Blackmun are at npr.org.